listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Chateauneuf du Pape translates as New Castle of the Pope, so I guess it shouldn't come as a surprise that the histories of the town with that name and its wine are intertwined with papal history, going all the way back to 1308 when Clement V relocated his papacy to the city of Avignon. Despite its importance to religious history and the fact that it's the only town in the world that's passed a law forbidding flying saucers from landing or disturbing its vineyards, it may come as a surprise that there's never been a definitive written account of Chateauneuf du Pape. That is, until the Chateauneuf du Pape Wine Book, a 488-page, lavishly illustrated coffee table-sized volume written by Harry Karas and published in a limited edition by Covino. I'm very pleased to welcome Dr. Karas to our show today. Hi.
Thank you, Leonard.
When I asked some people to name a couple of French wines, they came up with Puy-Fouissey and Chateauneuf du Pape. But you claim that before the wine critic Robert Parker Jr. began promoting them, the wines of Chateauneuf had limited appeal in the United States. Did people recognize the name but not drink the wines?
No, actually, I think, you know, Bordeaux and Burgundy already had a better name. But I think right from the beginning, and that's already in the 30s and the 20s, 30s, and 40s, there were wine producers who exported wine, Chateauneuf wines, to the United States. And actually, there was already a white wine exported, white Chateauneuf, in the early 20s.
Although we usually think of Chateauneuf du Pape as a red wine.
Yeah, because only about 7% of the total production is white, and I think, generally speaking, only 3% is for export.
But the name Chateauneuf du Pape is just such a great name. It's like if you had to come up with a brand name for a wine, it's very memorable. And then a lot of people go to castle, that palace in Avignon, as sightseers. So there's almost a perfect connection here. But why do you think that there hasn't been a book written until now?
Before now, Robert Parker, he did in his books on Warner, he did part of the book about Chateauneuf du Pape, of course, and he described the wines, but were mainly in perspective of the ratings rather than doing a complete report on the wine region itself. So that was, for me, the trigger that when I find out there was not really up-to-date work on that, because actually I'm a medical doctor, so... And I'm used to digging books to gather information. So I played with the idea, why not writing a book yourself?
Well, you have this this history that goes back thousands of years. According to the story you tell here, this is a historic area. The Hannibal stopped by at one point on his way to cross the Alps. There's been so many other things that even have nothing to do with the papacy.
No, that's true. And already before the papacy, and that's really a fact, the tribes who were actually in the area living, they already made wines. So it's not really that the Pope started making wine.
Well, the Rhone Valley is famous for wines, but it's usually the northern Rhone where the more prestigious wines are made. Wasn't that the case when the popes came? They liked Burgundy, which is to the north of the Rhone, and then just decided they want to have some local wines, so they got this wine industry going seriously?
Yeah, there's a story about the pope who temporarily located in Lyon. So that's in the north of the Rhône, who actually preferred the Chateauneuf style because of the spiciness, but also the higher alcohol, because the northern Rhône wines produced from mainly Syrah, they have a lower alcohol content, and sometimes they have this really green character. So.
But you say that wine was being made in ancient times, even before the Christians came.
Oh, yeah.
But wasn't most of the wine produced by the church once the church came to the area?
I think it already there, but it were family. You know, family were used to have some grapes or some vineyards, but just a few grapes through vines. It was the production was triggered actually because the popes were buying for the wine, so they were paying for the wine, and that was the interesting thing to trigger the people to produce more wine at that time.
And the wine came to be known, the local wine, as Vin du Pape. When did it become Châteauneuf du Pape?
No, actually, at that time, it was not Châteauneuf du Pape at all. It was Châteauneuf Calcinier. So it was actually named after the chalky area there in that region. And the really Châteauneuf name, Châteauneuf du Pape, full as the name is right now, was in the end of the 19th century.
So that's a fairly recent name. But yeah. What happened to the papacy? It lasted 75 years in Avignon and then went back to Italy?
They went back to Italy. So and then afterwards, in Avignon, the popes who were there for Clement V, he was the first who was involved in Châteauneuf, starting building the castle. And then you have John the 12th. They saw the castle more as a vacancy home during the summer. And afterwards, when they left actually for Rome and the central of the papacy went back to Rome, there were no popes anymore.
My guest is Harry Karas, who has written a book called The Châteauneuf du Pape Wine Book, a huge, beautiful, lavishly illustrated book that deals with an area that has had its ups and downs. And it had an odd wine because Châteauneuf du Pape, most of the wines of France use two or three grapes. Châteauneuf du Pape, for a long time, used 13 grapes, white and red?
Yeah, white and red. Actually, there are 22 varietals. So the varieties are
22.
22 in total. So you see
that's
some—
That's a lot of blending.
Yeah, some of them, they have a red variety and a gray and a white. So
now, why so many? Was it because the wines weren't— great in their own right, that they needed to blend so many different types?
No, I think that's to do with the vision of the Baron Leroy, of Chateau Fortia. He was one of the founders of the first AOC. Châteauneuf du Pape became the first appellation contrôlée in France.
They set standards for the wines of the area way before the rest of France adopted that AOC system.
Yeah, they find out in the early 1900 that in the area many winemakers were copying Châteauneuf du Pape wines, so they wanted to protect, and that's where they started to come up with AOC. And Baron Leroy, he really wanted to have more varieties in the AOC to cover that Châteauneuf would be more flexible to make wines.
Well, they made a red wine that mixed in white wines, but there is also a white wine, and you brought one here for me to sample, and I tasted a little bit of it, and this is a fabulous wine, and I wonder why there isn't more of it around.
Yeah, I think white Châteauneuf is one of the most underrated wines in the world. Actually, when I have 6 years ago, I went to a restaurant in Paris and I asked sommelier, "Do you have white Châteauneuf?" And he said, "It doesn't exist." I said, "Now you're in trouble." So now you see the quality of the whites has, I think the quality boost started 10, 15 years ago when a new generation started to take over. And they were more serious in white, producing white wines.
And now they're making dynamically grown wines in the area. So that also helps. And that can be done because they don't have to worry about pests, because there's this wind that goes through the area called the Mistral, named after the great poet, that prevents too much problems with bugs.
Yes. That's a blessing for Châteauneuf, the Mistral.
But you have to explain this whole business about the ban of landing of UFOs. It happened in the, during the fear that there were flying saucers?
You know, actually, in that era, in the early 50s, there was some things going on in the world of UFOs. Right? That was hot at that time. So the mayor, he was afraid. He actually was speaking with the local people. And there is a story that one night there was a lighting outside and people gathered in the town and they were afraid, this is a UFO landing. And the next day the mayor, he really declared officially that there no UFOs were allowed to land in the vineyards.
But since it has led to a certain amount of ridicule in the years since, you would have thought that they would have repealed that ruling. They haven't. And instead, what's happened is it's inspired other people. There's a California wine called the Flying Cigar because they call it Flying Cigar, Cigar Volant in France.
That's true.
Making fun of this.
So for me, it's part of the history.
Now, how you're a doctor, you actually came to medicine late. You were already 40 when you went to med school?
I started studying medicine school at 32, so I finished it at 40.
But you already had a restaurant at that
time? Yeah, I was a chef before, and before that I was a rock and roll player in a band. So it appears that I have this urge inside of me that every 10, 12 years I need to do something. Something new, so...
Like write a book about Chateauneuf-du-Pape.
Like
well,
this project.
One of the all the reviews say the same thing, that Chateauneuf-du-Pape, which was not as respected as it might have been or should have been, has suddenly become a favorite of many wine drinkers, not just Robert Parker Jr., who gave you your little foreword here.
Yeah.
But so perhaps things are changing, and your book has come out at the right time.
I hope so. I really hope so, because it... Actually, the timing was not that perfect in the middle of the crisis, I can tell you. It wasn't easy because I'm self-publishing also, so I know everything about it.
And it's designed with some beautiful work from your son?
Yeah, my son Phil, he's actually, that's a nice story. One of the first time I went to Chateauneuf, I had a nice digital camera with me. I took some pictures and I went home and I said to my son, okay, this will be nice too in the book. To put in a book, and he said, when you put this in a book, no way. So I said, okay, you think you can do better? And then ever since, he traveled with me.
Well, the book is quite beautiful. It's called The Chateauneuf du Wine Book, 488 pages from Covino. And my great thanks to Dr. Harry Karas for being our guest today to talk about it.
Thank you, Leonard.
And I'll drink to that.
Okay.